In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Today's Gospel reading is really so profound. Of course, all the Gospel readings are, but it tells us so much about faith, about hope, and something else. It tells us about physical and spiritual vision. The man in the story was born blind. In other words, the Holy Fathers say he didn't even have eyeballs in his eye socket. And this is perhaps one of the greatest miracles in the New Testament, because we see the divinity of Christ, his divine power, so powerfully expressed. As you recall, when we hear the story of Adam and Eve, when God created us, he took dirt, he took the earth, and formed man. And here in this Gospel reading, we see the exact thing happen. Christ, God, makes clay from the ground and creates an eye or eyes for this man instantaneously. It's a shocking and wonderful and amazing story and event, clearly showing who Christ really is, clearly revealing that he is God, the Creator. So as he does this, the man who was now physically blind is able to see physically. However, this man had something already, and that was he had spiritual vision. Even though his physical vision was non-existent, he had faith and he had a spiritual vision. On the other hand, those that were there who witnessed the miracle with their eyes, the Pharisees and the others, who refused to believe, even though they had physical vision, they had zero spiritual vision. Even though they saw it, they just could not believe it. They couldn't make themselves believe this miracle because they lacked spiritual vision and faith. And so this is a very important example of what can happen to us as human beings and what we need to be concerned about: our spiritual vision or our physical vision. The fathers of the church have another word for this idea of spiritual vision. We call it theoria, which is to attain the vision of God. And this requires a part of us as human beings to open up and to be clear and to be pure. This part of us as human beings, we call, the Holy Fathers call, the eye of the soul. The eye of the soul. Again, the idea of vision with the eye, but the eye of the soul. In Greek, it's the word nous, N-O-U-S. This is something that every human being has, and that was put in us by God so that we can have theoria, a vision of him. Now, this vision is not simply to see something, as I see all of you, but it is to experience God. It is to experience God. So if my eye, if the eye of my soul is darkened and broken and not functioning well, well then guess what? I'm not going to be able to have this experience of God. I'm not going to be able to see Him. Now the question is, what darkens the noose, the eye of the soul, and what cleans it and purifies it? What darkens it is sin. Intentional sins that we commit darken the eye of our soul, darken the noose, paralyze it, and cause it to become something that is incapable of performing what it's meant to do. And a person can live their entire life in this state. In a sense, sin blocking them from experiencing God. Now, with that comes other things. Because that part of me has been darkened, I also can develop all kinds of other illnesses, spiritual illnesses, such as apathy towards God, apathy towards the spiritual life, laziness in prayer, and self-justification for my sins. Well, I did that because of this, or I deserve to do that, I needed that, or any other kind of self-justification, or blaming of the other. He made me do it, she made me do it, the devil made me do it. On and on and on and on, this can happen as we fail to cleanse the noose, cleanse the eye of our soul. And that's exactly what you see with the Pharisees, is they were completely closed. And all they could do is condemn and judge. First of all, they blasphemed against Christ. Then they condemned the man who was healed and cast him out of the synagogue. The eye of his soul was perfectly opened, and he literally had theoria. He had the vision of God in two ways, right in that same gospel reading. He had it in his heart. He had the faith which made it possible for him to be healed. And then he literally sees God standing in front of him when Christ says to him, "You have seen him. He is speaking to you." Do you see that? How beautiful the gospel reveals this experience? And this man becomes even a teacher. He's a blind beggar on the side of the road, and he becomes more wise, more spiritual, more faithful than the Pharisees, who were supposedly the religious leaders. Look what God does. So we know that that's how the eye of the soul, the noose, can be darkened. How is it cleansed? How can we purify it? How can we make sure that it functions properly? Well, just like all things in your life, it takes care. If your car isn't working right, what are you going to do? You're going to take it to the mechanic. If your clothes are dirty or ripped or torn, what are you going to do? You're going to get new ones. Why do we not apply the same kind of care to our souls, to our spiritual life? Is it because we don't know how? Or is it because we are not ready to? That's the question we have to ask. Like Christ asked the man at the side of the pool from two Sundays ago, "Do you want to be healed? Do you want to overcome the sinful habits? Or are you still attached to them? Do you still love them? Do you still want them?" So the way that we cleanse the noose is through the Holy Spirit, through the grace of God. It is God who cleanses us. He's the one who washes us. We participate and we invite Him and allow Him to do that. Because He can't force it. He can't, you know, He can't drag us into and wash us. No, we have to come to Him and say, "Wash me." We do that through our repentance. Through struggling in repentance. Struggling to fight against those bad habits. And really struggling. Tears, blood, and sweat. Really, really struggling towards it. Then He responds and sanctifies us and cleanses us. And the more we struggle, the more our soul is purified and the eye of our soul is purified. And now we begin to be able to really see Him and know Him. And this experience of God, to be able to know Him, to see Him through the noose, then also changes our entire life. It changes our entire vision of ourselves, of others, of the world. Because we're no longer spiritually blind. So, spiritual blindness and physical blindness. We live in a culture and a society, once again, we've been reminded this past Tuesday with this horrific shooting at a school, at an elementary school. Prior to that, a shooting at a church. And prior to that, a shooting at a supermarket. And prior to that, how many more times? On and on and on. Look at this. There's something very, very wrong in our society. And we are blind to it. We are blind to it because we're in it. And we're like desensitized by it because it's just so common now. That's how bad it's gotten. But if you ever read the news of other countries, do that once in a while. Find a website or a source of news from another country. In the Middle East, in Europe, wherever, Africa. And read some of the commentary of how the outside world looks at us and sees us and regards us. They think we're all a bunch of psychopaths. Really. They're like, what is wrong with these Americans? How could they do this? Not only internally what we are doing, but what we're doing externally around the world. Bombing here, invading there. All about death. It's nothing but death and power. Spiritually blind. I don't mean to get political, but what we do on the outside of the world seems to be coming back and haunting us here. Something is very wrong in our society. We are spiritually blind. And why is that? Because this country has turned away from God. Because this country is rejecting God. If that wasn't true, we wouldn't be flying rainbow flags everywhere. Mocking God. Completely rejecting His law, rejecting His authority. If that wasn't true, if we weren't mocking God, mocking creation, there wouldn't exist more guns in this country than people. We are completely lost as a country. And we are blind and spiritually blind to that fact. The only way is to return to God. Otherwise, this sort of thing will keep happening. And it'll get worse. And we'll still think that everything's fine. And that's how spiritually blind we are. And what about everything else in our society, all the things we allow. Not only are children now being killed inside the womb, but now outside. How can we allow this? If we don't care for children in the womb, don't tell me we now care about children outside the womb. And we take every possible measure to educate children in all the academics and all the social issues and even indoctrinate them, but then you cannot teach them about God in school. And you want to tell me we are not spiritually blind? So we are very spiritually blind, and we see the cause, we see the effects of this, we see the consequences of this. And it's going to get worse. I hate to be pessimistic, but I think it will get worse. So what can we do about it? We're not just going to sit here and complain and rant and rave about it and point fingers. We have to do something. We have to act. The politicians need to do what they need to do. But the people, you and I, need to do what we're supposed to do. And the church provides an incredible opportunity to make a change, to make an impact. This church right here, and every church. Because when Christ established the church, he said that we should be in the world, but not of the world. That we should be a place where love and community can exist. A place where people can come who are lonely, who are angry, who are suffering, who are in pain, who are confused, who are lost, who are without God, to come and have the experience of God, have the vision of God, and know God through all of you, through your love towards them, through your care towards them, which is how you express love, the love of Christ for others. It starts here. That's what we're here for. We're not just here for ourselves. We're here for anyone else who walks through those doors. Now imagine if that young man who committed this horrible crime had walked into this church and he had experienced love and he had experienced a friend and no longer, and somehow that had changed his way of seeing himself and others. Imagine. But no one, that didn't happen, did it? No, that didn't happen. So that's why we have to have this sense of urgency, because a lot of people are alone, a lot of people are suffering, and in their anger, in their suffering, they act out the way this young man did, in the most horrific ways. So the church has something to give. It has the solution, and the solution is Christ. The solution is God. For our parish, for our families, for our country. Will we stand up for that? Will we vote for that when it's time to vote? Or do we simply still toe the party line? Or will we vote for people who are fighting for this sort of thing? Will we strive to make our parish a place of love so that when people do come here, whoever they may be, they can be transformed and find a place of true community so they're not feeling alone and angry and bitter as this man was? So spiritual vision and physical vision. We need both. But we need spiritual vision the most. We need to cleanse our own hearts and the eye of our own souls through repentance, through the church and her sacraments, so that we can see things clearly, so that we can see the sin in us, the sin in our society, and fight against it. Otherwise, it will keep fighting against us and destroy us. Glory to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.